Thank you, Doc. Well, the real reason why I'm here is because I look so much like Dr. Sisk. People mistake us for twins all the time until we talk. But I love Dr. Sisk. We were just with him last week. He was in a conference where we were speaking in Tennessee last week, and look forward to being with him every time we have the opportunity. You know, I'm looking around since I've been in here tonight. Something's changed since I was here last year. Have you changed the carpet or something? It just looks different. I'm just teasing. What a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful place God's given you. Isn't God good? I mean, we took the tour last year while we were here on the property, and you could stand at the front doors and see all the way through the building. But to walk in today and immediately just see that beautiful lobby and then to step in the auditorium, the colors, the seating, everything, the sound, everything is wonderful. And I just thank the Lord for that. And I'm glad that God has blessed you with that. And I cannot wait until I see God fill this place with people that have heard the gospel and responded to the gospel and allowed the Lord to change their lives, not only for the present, but also for the future. So it's a joy to be with you this week. I also think about the missions conference as we begin the conference this year. We're in 2023, and the faith that required us to fill out those commitment cards in 2022, that faith has now become sight, because you've seen God do that. You've seen God bless. You've seen God meet the need. And so this year, as we begin this missions conference, we once again must begin by saying, Lord, I'm listening. You remember that from last year when we talked about, Lord, I'm listening. And then later in the week, we said, Lord, I'm willing. I'm not only listening, but Lord, I want you to speak to my heart and I want you to move me. And then we ended the conference by saying, Lord, give me the courage to be obedient to what you're asking me to be or to do. So as we think on along those lines, and we're going to go into missions tonight, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Of course, this is written by the Apostle Paul, whom we would agree is one of the greatest missionaries of all time. We thank the Lord for his influence, but also the documentation that God has preserved in his word that not only helps us to see his calling, but also what the Lord did in his heart and what the Lord did through the Apostle Paul. And then he penned many of his dialogues with the Lord. He penned many of his prayers to the Lord for us to be able to review and to grow from. But then he also left a lot of really admonishment for us to grab hold of some of the truths of Scripture so that the Lord could use us to our full potential. You know, I was speaking with someone before the service tonight, and I was reminded that sometimes there's some key people in our lives that have come along just at the right time, and their words of encouragement help to motivate us to try something that we've never tried before. And because of that motivation, because of that encouragement, we later are able to rejoice that we've been able to break through whatever it would be, maybe just a barrier or an obstacle that was in front of us. But with the encouragement of that individual or that group of individuals, God helped us pass that. As we study the Apostle Paul and his writings, we often find that he says, you know, God wants to do a great work through you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we're going to read verse number 13. If you'll read it with me, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we look at that verse, we understand that we as believers are recipients of the truths of God's word. We're beneficiaries of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're challenged by the word of God. When you recognize this book right here as the eternal word of God, it takes on new meaning. It has new value. And anytime you approach the word of God, you understand the seriousness of what you are reading. And you want it to impact your life if you want to continue to grow in grace and knowledge and truth. Well, as we're going into the missions conference and we're studying the Apostle Paul tonight, I want us to look at really some of the simple ideas and for this idea of missions that we have as a church. If we're going to continue to do the work of missions, we need to have a great understanding of what missions is from the Bible. The Apostle Paul really gives us an outline here in these first two chapters of 1 Thessalonians about what missions is. When we think about missions, that is God's program to reach the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what missions is. Now, oftentimes we think about missions as being overseas. I do agree with that statement. But there is also a mission for the local church in their community. And they're Jerusalem, and they're in Judea, and they're Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When we think about that, how are we to do this? Now, if you have some logistical training in your background, you might take the task of reaching 8 billion people with the gospel, and you might apply some earthly knowledge and experience and see how you might do it. But the Lord makes it pretty simple. And we want to look at the simplicity of His plan here tonight as we study the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and 2. I want you to notice, first of all, this evening, as we think about God's plan for missions, is a plan that it must begin with this word called prayer. Look back at chapter number 1 and verse number 2. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." You know, our prayers is that time where we not only we intercede on behalf of one another, but we spend time in thanksgiving to God for what He's done in our lives. We also take our petitions to the Lord. But it's also that time where the Lord begins to work in our heart and tune our heart into His heart. And it motivates us. We come out of that prayer time and our study of the Word of God with an understanding of not only who He is, but who we are in Him and because of Him and what He wants us to do. The idea of this prayer, if you think about it in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36, it said, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And the next word, the first word of verse number 38, He says, "Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest field." You know, as we begin this conference, I hope and my desire is that you have begun to pray that God would continue to renew the burden, but even broaden the burden that you have for those around the world. You know, as we watch the video tonight, you know, my heart goes out to almost 2 billion people who were born into a culture where Jesus Christ was not part of that culture as Lord and Savior. You know, I was born in Tennessee, often known as the Bible Belt. My dad got saved about 3 years before I was born. So I was born into a Christian home. I grew up in a great church. I grew up hearing truth on a weekly basis, but it was still at the age of 19 before I came to be saved and understand the truth of the gospel as it applied to me. Can you imagine growing up in a culture where either Jesus was not known about or He was not known as for who He really is, the Son of God, as the Savior of the world? When we think about it in that regard, oftentimes it would give us a compassion like we read about there in Matthew chapter number 8 a moment ago. Instead of us being frustrated or upset that lost people act lost, it would motivate us as saved people to want to give them the truth that would bring them to the light of the gospel and the light of salvation so that they too might know the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about missions, we must pray. We must pray that the Lord would take missionaries to some of these faraway places, to some of these faraway groups of people, to give them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that, well, Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called thee. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." This idea of prayer, it must be the foundation. It must be the starting point of anything that we do with missions. When we think about going on a missions trip, you know what I want to do before I get on that airplane to go to that faraway place? I want to pray about the trip. I want the blessing of the Lord. I want to pray about where we're going. I want to pray that the Lord will protect us. I want to pray that the Lord will take me to the right immigration official, to the right customs official, into the right area of town, that the Lord would help us to be a blessing to the missionary that's there. There's so many different things that we can pray about. As we're challenged by these videos this week, we're going to be given many opportunities to pray in ways we've never prayed before. A couple of years ago, I preached a series on how to pray for missionaries. I don't know how many of you remember that. We talked about different seasons of life that a missionary goes through, not to speak of it in a negative light, just to be transparent and to help you to know how to when you sit down with that template and you sit down to have prayer, how to pray for that missionary specifically based on what you read in the prayer letters, what you know about that season of life and ministry, so that you can strive together with them in your prayers to God for them, as the Apostle Paul says. Well, not only do we need to consider prayer, I want you to also realize that in order for a missions outreach or a missions program to be successful, we must also have the power of the Holy Spirit upon our work and our ministry. Look at chapter number 1 and verse number 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Understand that power of the Holy Spirit, if a missionary is going to go work in some of these areas like we heard about tonight, for them to go without the power of God and the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their life and ministry, it will certainly be in vain. They might be able to accomplish some things. They might be able to learn the language to a certain degree. But I tell you what those missionaries need. They need those divine appointments. They need those divine opportunities. When they preach, they need the Lord to take that limited language ability and enhance it so that the audience can hear a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can communicate the truths and the principles of the Word of God in a clear manner, so that they can be easily understood in a language which is not the missionary's own. And it takes the power of God for that to happen. I can tell you from experience, there's many whoops when it comes to a missionary and his speaking on the field. There's those times when that word has a secondary meaning that the missionary didn't learn about in class. It has a slang application or a street application. I can tell you in those times when I'd be preaching, I'd be so proud of this new word that I was going to put to use in my message, and I would say that word and then eyes would get really big. And immediately I knew, whoops. And I would say, "Should I not say that word as a preacher?" And they're like, "No, Pastor, no." I'm like, "Okay, scratch that one off the list. I'll ask you later. Don't tell me now what the secondary meaning is." You know, when there's opportunity or situations like that that happen to the missionary, let me tell you, they're glad that the Holy Spirit is helping them. They're glad that they have His power and His blessing. When we look at Acts 4 and verse number 33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Acts 9 and verse number 8, it says, or 6 and verse number 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Men's programs and methods are never a substitute for the power of God. You understand, I tell you, some of the greatest times in my life and times of ministry have been when I went, "Wow, Lord, that was something." My wife and I, several years ago, we were on deputation the first time. We had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, as a lot of missionaries do when they're out on deputation. And of course, I've talked about that with you before. But on this particular case, it was a lady from Lebanon that was a member of our church in Tennessee. Her husband was in the military, and we began a good friendship with their family. And she said, "Now, none of my family has ever heard the gospel. They've never been to the church. And if you're ever in California, we'd love for you to stay at my dad's bed and breakfast." I was thinking to myself, I don't know anything about California. I don't plan on going to California. Well, wouldn't you know, at the end of our deputation, when you're trying to get that last bit of support, and then the pastor calls and says, "We have a round robin conference. If you can come out, we'll have you in 5 churches, and it's guaranteed support." Guess where I went? California. I even prayed about it for about 10 seconds. Amen. Well, the idea was we get to California. There was one space in there for a couple of days where we didn't have any housing. And I called this lady, Darla. I said, Darla, we're in California. Do you think it'd be okay to go by and see your dad? And she lined it up and she said, sure, Dad would love to have you. So we went and we're driving, and it was in Napa Valley, California. I'm from Tennessee. I know nothing about Napa Valley. We're driving into Napa Valley, and I'm like, wow, this is a really nice area. We're continuing to follow. This is back when you had the big map, you know, the flipping pages. You didn't have the cell phone and had it all out in list of where you would turn. And suddenly we find the address and we turn, and it's about a half a mile drive through a vineyard. In my independent Baptist mind, I'm going, no, 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 no. Well, we drive on through the vineyard. We come up to this ornate mansion. I'm like, honey, is this the right place? She said, I think so. So we go up to the door, and sure enough, her father walks out on the front porch and he says, welcome to my home. We're so glad to have you here. And we walk in the door with our two children, and everything's marble and crystal. And my kids are going through going, no, 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 no. And I'm going, you're right, you're right, you're right. Do not touch anything. Well, when she called and told them that we were coming, he had invited the entire Lebanese family to come to dinner that night. We did not know any of them. We're sitting at a table. There's probably 20 people at the table. It's a beautiful, beautiful home. As a matter of fact, it was a bed and breakfast for celebrities that came out of Hollywood and stayed on the weekend. It was just absolutely beautiful. I asked for the room in the basement. You say, really? Yes. Yes. 4-2. Yes. Basement will be great for us. We're sitting at the table that night, and I'll never forget the uncle on the far end of the table. He said, his question was, would you like some wine? And I said, no, sir, I would not. He said, you don't drink. I said, no, sir, I do not. Well, why not? He puts his hands on his hips. And I'm like, wow, I didn't sign up for this. Darla didn't tell me this was coming. He got so upset with me that for 3 hours at the table with 20 people there, he asked me question after question after question. And every time he asked me a question, the Lord gave me a scripture. And for three hours, I remember it very well. For 3 hours, I was able to quote scripture. Some of those scriptures I didn't even know I knew. And at the very end, he put his hands on the table, and everyone had been eating, but it was a very tense environment. At the very end, I don't remember eating, but at the very end, he put his hands on the table and he said, I have never met an individual like you. I was thinking, I could say the same. That night, as we finished that, and I was able to give a very clear presentation of the gospel, Darla told me later, she said, my family has never heard the gospel before. They've never heard who Jesus Christ really is. And as I went downstairs with our kids later, and Chris and I were talking, I was kind of quivering. And I said, honey, did you hear? She said, yes, I heard. I said, that was the Lord. That was not your husband. You know, when you've experienced that and you've seen the power of the Lord work in your life, the next day the uncle came who was going to give us some touristy things to do. He pulls up in his minivan and he goes, normally we do wine tastings for our friends and family. What would you guys like to do? I can take you to the beach. I said, the beach is great. You know, it's too cold to get in the water, but it was great. The idea was the Lord gave us opportunities. He had arranged something for us, but it was far more than we thought. We were thinking lodging. We were thinking this will save us some money. But the Lord had orchestrated an entire event so that a group of people who had never entered the doors of a Baptist church were able to sit at a table in their own home, in their own comfort, and they were able to listen to the gospel be presented by someone that they've never seen before and will never meet again. Only the Lord can do that. There was a time when we landed in a village in the jungle, and after landing in the village and going into the jungle in the darkness and despair, that we found that group of people. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit showed up, and they were marveling at how bright the village was becoming. You know why it was becoming bright? It wasn't because I was there. It was because the Holy Spirit was there, and they sensed it. They sensed the moving that they could not explain, and the gospel was actually penetrating the darkness where they were. That is that power that we're talking about. In order for this young man and his family to be able to go to that region of the world and to be able to minister, it's going to take the power of God working in them and through them in order for the ministry to be completed and done that God has called them to. Let me give you the third aspect of his program for missions tonight. This third aspect is in chapter number 2 and verse number 2. It says, "But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." We see here that it's necessary to have the preaching of the word of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching. But it's the preaching of the word of God was the very backbone of missions in the early church. Philip went down in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 5. He said, "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 25. "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." We could look at scripture after scripture after scripture where we see that in the early church, in the early ministry of the Apostle Paul and others that carried the gospel into the regions beyond, it was the ministry of preaching that God was using to penetrate the hearts of the Lord Jesus, or penetrate the hearts of the people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at these things, we must understand that this is how God works. The church is involved in missions, and we give so that others may go. We volunteer and surrender to go so that we may be sent. But it requires this prayer. How many of you like to know when people are praying for you? Absolutely, we all like that. But the missionaries, they have to be surrounded in prayer and bathed in prayer. They have to be bathed in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But their ministry is a ministry of preaching. Why? So that others will hear the proclamation of the message of the Word of God. Let me give you fourthly tonight, and that is the practice. Look at chapter number 2 and verse number 12. It says, "That we would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." This walking worthy, I was speaking about this recently with a pastor, and he says, "It sounds like you're talking about lifestyle evangelism." I said, "No, I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. I'm talking about living a Christian life in front of other people so that they see a difference, so that they see what a Holy Spirit indwelt person can live like, a person who can actually live according to the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. A lost person cannot do that, but a saved person can. That power and that prayer and that and the preaching that has worked in our heart and our life, it changes us and it allows us to practice things and become what the Bible refers to as doers of the Word. James 1:22 says it this way, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Philippians 4 and verse number 9 says, "Those things which I have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Did you notice what Paul said there in Philippians? He said, "Those things which ye have both learned, received, you've heard." But he says, "seen in me." In other words, you've witnessed not only the word of God come from my mouth, you've not only heard it, but you've seen the evidence of what the word of God will do in a person's life. That's what part of what missions is all about. A missionary, he's going to win people to Christ. Yes, he's going to baptize them just as the scripture tells us to do. He is going to plant the New Testament church just like we're told to do. But let me tell you, many times those people that are attending those churches are going to learn so much more from the life and the practice of that missionary as they live out a Christian life before them. They've never seen anyone do that way before. You say it's not always culture. Sometimes it's Christianity has an impact on a lost and dying world. They're like, "That is different. This brother looks different. Is that because he's an American? He talks different. Does he talk different because he's an American? He sings different. Does he sing different because he's an American? His vocabulary is different. Is his vocabulary different because he's an American?" Over time, they're going to say, "No, it's not because he's an American. It's because he's heard the message that he's proclaiming to us. He's received that message. He's allowed that message to work in him. And now he's living out that message and he's being a light and a testimony to the people that he's trying to reach." My friend, it's honestly, it can be here in the United States as we think about the people who are silently watching us from beyond the screen. It's the person who has been watching you at work and listening. Those are the people that we're living a Christ-like life for. Yes, we should be a mission-minded. Yes, we should be a testimony. Yes, we should seize every opportunity to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's that day after day, your reactions must be different than that of a lost person. When they see that reaction, they're like, how can they be so calm when their life is in such disarray? How can they not be upset when their spouse is sick or their children are sick? How can they not be irate because of losing their job? Why? Because the Spirit of God resides in us and we seek to live by the principles of the Word of God. You and I, as we think about this idea of missions, missions is a continuation of what we are doing here in the regions beyond. Now, you're probably not going to see a building like this in some of the places we go, but that's all right. We want to be culturally relative wherever we go. We would go into villages out in the middle of Venezuela where just a mud wall with a thatch roof, that was just as nice to them as what you're enjoying here. Nothing wrong with this whatsoever. We are to reach the region that God has given us, and we must thank the Lord for that. So this idea of practice. And then there's the idea of planting. Look at verse number 14 and then we'll be done. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things in your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. This idea of the churches of God, we need to understand that what we are seeking to do is plant churches. You know, when we were in language school in Costa Rica, there were missionaries with other denominations that were going to different regions of the world. And one particular person that I met was a farmer, and he was going to teach a particular indigenous group how to farm. And I was saying to myself, that's great, and I'm not against it, and they were wonderful people. But you know what? After they leave, if they decide not to farm anymore, what is the work of the gospel going to be? Where are the congregants? Where are the people that they lead to Christ? Where are they going to worship? The Bible teaches us very plainly that we are to be involved in planting New Testament Baptist churches. Why? Because that is how the Lord is reaching our generation. When we think about this work, you say, why are we to do this? Well, Paul did it in Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica, and many other cities. The local church is the very center of his program for missions. Probably the best testimony I can give you for this is 20 years ago, the missionaries that were in Venezuela had to leave. 20 years ago. I can't believe it's been 20 years since we left. In my mind, thinking we had an airplane, we were providing medical support, we were taking supplies in and out, we were moving preacher boys from one village to another village so they could preach and come back for training. All of that was going on, and suddenly the door closed and we were done. In my mind, I was thinking, how is the work ever going to continue? You know why it continued? Because there were churches that were planted. Just a few months ago, we received pictures from a friend of ours in the jungle in Venezuela who on his Facebook page, let that one sink in just for a minute, an Indian deep in the jungle in Venezuela who has no electricity has a Facebook page. On that Facebook page, there were some of the church leaders that we had seen come to Christ in our time there in Venezuela. Around those church leaders were some young men whose faces we recognized, but they were only children when we left. Now they're young men with their own families. Now they're leaders in the church. The church is still going. And behind those men in a 40-foot dugout canoe were 50 church members in that canoe. And the caption on the Facebook page is, "We're headed out on a missions trip upriver. Please pray for us." When I think about that, for 20 years, or most of that 20 years, I was thinking, how are they going to make it? How are they going to be able to reach their generation? How are they going to overcome all the obstacles? I tell you how they're going to do it, because the God of heaven that has reached us is the same God of heaven that has reached them. And he's put it in their heart through the scriptures to plant other churches. And they're going to do what was done in their village, and they're going to win the lost, baptize them, plant a church. And 20 years from now, they'll be, I believe, if the Lord tarries his coming, I believe in those outlying villages where they were going on their missions trips, I think there'll be other believers who are going out on missions trips from those villages to other villages to plant more churches. I tell you all of those things because, my friend, that is how the Lord blesses in missions. The missionaries can be gone for 20 years. We'd planned on being there a lifetime, but the Lord saw fit to do it otherwise. And even though we're gone, we can rest assured that his program, his plan, his strategy to reach the world, 8 billion people, truly does work if we simply follow it. So tonight, I only want to ask you this question. Do you believe that God can do it again in this generation? These past several months, it's just settled into my heart the responsibility that my generation has to reach my generation. I want to do all that I can. I want to be well spent doing what God's called me to do. I want to make sure I follow every leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life, every principle that he shows me from the Word of God. I want to follow that so that in the end, I can say, and I'm not sure I'll say it out loud, but I want to be able to say when I stand before my Savior, I've done all that you've asked me to do. Can you imagine if every one of us has that attitude, what God can accomplish? Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you tonight, and our desire is that you will, Lord, that you will just kind of renew that revival in our heart for the cause of missions. Lord, I pray that you will illuminate those areas in our life that have taken root, and Lord, they really shouldn't be there, but they're areas of our life that's distracting us and hindering us from being able to hear you and respond to you. So tonight, I simply ask that you would put it on our heart to say, Lord, if once again, I'm listening. Lord, I'm grateful that you've spoken to me before. I'm grateful that you've encouraged me to do my part, not only here and in this area, but also in missions around the world through the faith promise of our church. Lord, tonight, once again, I realize last year's faith is now sight. I ask you to increase my faith once again for your honor and for your glory, so that we can accomplish all that you've asked us to do in our lifetime. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet, your head bowed, your eyes closed? The invitation hymn is 390, I Surrender All, Pastor.
So Lord, spoken to your heart, won't you come?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
You know, the reason we're here tonight, the Holy Spirit can challenge our heart that when we see Him, we can say, Lord, I did all that I thought You wanted me to do. Tonight, I just want to encourage you. Thank you for coming tonight. My prayer is you go home and, Lord, help me to keep every divine appointment to the best of my ability. I have seen people saved when I'm busy doing something else. But the Lord just brought somebody front and center. We're missionaries, all of us. And we must keep the divine appointments with a godly heart so that God can use us to shine the gospel. But we must do what's right. Lord, help me to do what You want me to do. Thank you for coming tonight. Ladies, don't forget tomorrow, Patterns, 9 a.m. That's our ladies' Bible study in the fellowship hall. It's all the missionary wives will be there. They'll be giving a brief testimony. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Breakfast supplied and nursery supplied. Ladies, let me encourage you to come. It'll be a great time. Chris Baggett's going to be speaking a little bit of a message there for us. And so I encourage you to come and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Come back tomorrow night. Now, Thursday night is usually a night not really well attended because people get busy. They're used to coming on Wednesday nights. Can I encourage you to all come back tomorrow night and try to bring somebody with you? Let's fill the place up. Thank you for coming. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for the challenge to allow Your power to work through us. Lord, many times we don't sense that. But Lord, help us to be sensitive to You and Your Spirit for each divine appointment of which we need You to give us the words to speak and the steps to walk that we can walk worthy of You. Give us traveling mercies tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen. Missionaries, will you slip to your tables very quickly if you'll slip back there? Folks, get a chance to find them, meet them, and may the Lord bless you.